See, this is the problem when she asks drunk people to record things for. Hi, I'm Brain Douche, and this is all her fault. This is Naughty Bites.
The podcast is much better than the promo.
It almost has to be.
I kind of like the promo.
Hello, Mixed Nutcases. This is Nuke Joss, and we have a Pride episode for you today. We are going to be talking about queer and LGBTQIA representation in streaming media. This all came about because I'm really kind of sad at the offerings this year. So I thought I would invite some of my friends to come on and we would talk about some of the shows that we enjoy and that are totally worth watching. With me today, and all of these people have been on this show before, but it's been a long time. So we're going to start. We've got Lynette. Lynette, why don't you introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Lynette McFadden, and I identify as bisexual and ace demisexual and female, I guess. I don't know.
And we also have our good friend, Hugh.
Hi. I'm Hugh J. O'Donnell. I am a gay author and podcaster and other stuff.
Streaming, podcasting. Hugh likes comics. Yeah.
So much stuff.
And we also have Will.
Hello. My name's Will. I'm a gay software engineer, sometimes podcaster, and also streamer, a Twitch streamer.
And we're all geeks. And by the way, hi, I'm Nuke Joss, and I am a cisgendered female bisexual in a het relationship. And welcome. That feels really weird. I don't think I've ever done that on the podcast. So, so welcome. So I love some good queer media. I love seeing, you know, trans stories and gay stories and everything across the spectrum. I have always enjoyed watching these shows. And each year, each summer, it's always like, oh, there's a new burst. There's a new burst of stuff. And this year, I felt very disappointed. So I'm really glad to have everybody on just to kind of dive through. And maybe there's some stuff I missed. And maybe there's some stuff other people have missed. First off, we are in an icon of an age. You know, this is an era where we have so many platforms to choose from, between Netflix and Disney Plus and Amazon. In the States, you have Hulu, and every other channel has their own, whatever they want to call it, you know, streaming service.
There was like two or three things way back, like 5-6 years ago, when the olden days, there was hardly anything to watch unless it was an independent thing. But a mainstream media, you know, it just wasn't really there. Maybe 1-2 shows, The O Word, Queer as Folk, you know, going back even further, you know, Queer Eye. But I'm amazed. I was trying to research today and I got overwhelmed. There was just so much. And I know on my own shows where they don't actually say anything, they really normalized what's normal, but normalized all of the sexualities and genders. And I think that maybe Hulu has a show called The Bisexual. They actually say that word. But a lot of the other shows, they don't say gay, lesbian, they don't pin themselves down to anything. But they, you know, exhibit those behaviors. And it's just amazing to me. It's like that.
Yeah. I mean, gone are the days of Xena and Gabrielle and, oh, they're not in a relationship.
Maybe.
Wink.
Yeah.
Wink.
Wink. Yeah. Or like Willow, she turns totally lesbian when, you know, she was in love with a guy. I mean, they wouldn't address anything else on that. So yeah, those days are really gone.
Yeah, then like on Deep Space Nine, where they kind of dance around the issue of Jadzia Dax, show that's near and dear to my heart, Babylon 5, where they're kind of seeing each other, but they can't really say it, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And it comes out of like left field towards the end. It's like, wait, there was a relationship there. Hang on.
Oh, I need to go back and watch that again.
Well, they weren't going to get in trouble anymore, right? Yeah. But now, you know, I watch the kids shows, excuse me, but I, you know, The Magicians, it's very there. And, you know, Legacies, all of these shows, they're just, you know, well, Lucifer, of course, but, you know, That's, yeah, definitely. But yeah, you know, they, but even like on Madam Secretary, which is on CBS All Access streaming, there's two really good instances where for some reason her aide, while he was helping her into the car, felt the need to be transparent and just kind of blurted out, I'm bisexual. And she was like, oh, I was supposed to be, you know, respectful here and everything, but okay, you know, and she was really cool, but it was kind of showed what happens. You know, I, the same thing happened when I came out. Everybody went, yeah. So what's new? But, yeah, I have the same feeling. They were respectful. But then later on, they have a new person joins the show and her and some another person. I think he's actually gay. I'm not sure. But they're sitting and having lunch and talking. And she starts talking about her son. And he goes, oh, I thought you were a lesbian. You know, and she goes, no, I'm bisexual. I'm also. And then started talking about her gender and mm-hmm. and that she was genderqueer, and she just took it as a real teaching moment. And it was, I think it was really nice. And that was, those two are some real direct contact in your feed.
And those are pretty mainstream. Like those are also shows that are on regular TV too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think you mentioned something about shows for kids, and two of my examples, or at least one of them, two of them are animated shows that are kind of geared towards the younger audience, one of which being She-Ra, the Prince and the Princesses of Power, which have representation all over the place. And it was definitely a show that there was a lot of, are they going to just keep this subtext the entire time? And then they overtly came out and, you know, we're like, no, this is a relationship.
I watched the first show, and I was like really impressed with it. But
it is worth watching. It's a complete series now.
I'm going to have to go watch it. You did, and I guess you're going to go to Who We All Know, animated.
I don't know.
No one loves Steven Universe.
Oh well, you know, I've never seen Steven Universe.
You've never seen Steven Universe.
Oh my god,
I've never seen Steven Universe because you know what? It's one of those, like Rick and Morty. It's one of those weird shows that I would have to buy a subscription just to watch that one show because of Canada.
Makes a difference.
Like Harley Quinn needs its own extra subscription service. Rick and Morty needs its own extra subscription service. Steven Universe, it needs its own extra subscription service. Why can't they just be on one?
Well,
yeah.
Well, I don't want to get you in trouble, but we might have a friend who might, you know, be able to help you with that if you need it.
Like DVDs maybe? Yeah, that'd be great.
Yes,
yeah.
They totally have a DVD they can send you.
Blockbuster, yeah. Man, it's still a thing.
Yeah, there's still one here in Oregon. You can get it through there somehow. One, and I'm sorry to interrupt, but yeah, one animated show that comes to mind is The Legend of Korra.
Yeah.
Where there was, I mean, I completely went over my head. I think it was after I watched the season finale, I was reading something and the series finale, sorry, I was reading something and realized, oh, these two are like in a relationship. I didn't know that, you know, they were together. It just completely blew past me. I thought they were just really close friends.
Well, even though they were sort of like not going that way for most of the series, I do love a meet cute where someone hits someone with a car. So I'm in favor of that.
That just makes you want to tune in, right? Mm. I think one of the things that surprises me about some of the new animated shows is how comfortable they are going there. Whereas when we were growing up or even just 10 years ago, they still had to make everything in subtext. When it's very overt, you're kind of surprised. You're like, hey, wait, they said it. They actually said it.
And it's very natural. It doesn't feel stilted at all.
I think one of the things I heard from a young person, it was, and this was looking for books. They want books about queer characters where it's not about them being queer.
Yes. Right.
And it's not about them being abused or mistreated. They want them to be the heroes in a story and just read about somebody like them.
And they're not side characters who are going to get killed off or
Yeah. No kill the gays tropes or anything like that. Now, I haven't watched all of this, but one of the shows that I really did enjoy was the new Voltron, Legendary Defenders.
I've seen it.
And it starts out with a character that everybody assumes is male, and then you find out later is actually female, who is being played by a trans actor, which was just so exciting for me. And then as we got more things like She-Ra, and I know that Steven Universe predates all of this, but then actually having all of this out there, I know for me, Adventure Time, when they actually said it, it was like, wow, that is huge.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, they kind of stumbled back a couple of years ago when Amazon brought out Transparent. Now, it was a great idea, you know, and it's probably really good for education, but they didn't choose a trans person to play the trans person, and they really blew it with that. Yeah. And then for me, I was watching it, and one of the daughters is bisexual, and I just got turned off right away because she's here happily married with her husband, and then she sneaks off and is having an affair with a woman, and I said, yeah, that's a trope I don't even want to watch, you know.
That particular character is a train wreck.
Oh yeah.
And it's kind of a train wrecky. Now, it's interesting that you bring that up, because so listeners of the show know that Nutty has a rule. I will not watch anything that has a trans character played by a cis actor. We're done. It's over. There's no reason to support that kind of media.
Yeah.
And there is a show near and dear to Will and my heart that fooled me at first, that came out a year after Transparent, which is Sense8.
Yes.
And I was just saying, I was just thinking about that show this morning. I still miss that show. But yeah, I was, I wasn't familiar with Jamie Clayton before the show, but you know, she's just so awesome. Yeah. And that show just has so much representation where everyone is just.
It's awesome. And I mean,
That's
all I can say is it's just completely awesome.
And I think what I like is the support, not just in the story and on the show, but the behind the scenes stuff. I mean, there was a replacement of a character, of an actor, because they were basically coming out as anti-LGBTQ.
Yeah.
Right. You can see that in the first, you can even see it in the first season, and he was absent from some of the more, you know, intimate scenes. It was great that it's great that they made the change. I think Lana Wachowski and her sister, it was just such a great show. Even, you know, JMS's involvement. I was thinking the other day, like, you know, we could be like in season five right now if things had gone differently. The show could be entering the final season probably and seeing the story wrap up. But
how amazing would that be?
Yeah, they just had such a great crew, and the story was excellent. And I spent 2 years podcasting about it, and it was a lot of fun. Yeah. I think I was on this show speaking about it one time.
Probably. That sounds about right. And I was definitely on your Sense8 podcast. I remember being really upset at the beginning, and I was like, why couldn't they have hired a trans actress? And I don't know if it was you or someone else here who was like, that is a trans actress. Because there just wasn't enough information when it first came out about Jamie Clayton. And then I was like, oh my gosh, really? Okay. And then I was on board. But
yeah, you know, it's funny that 40, 50, 60 years ago, you would get fired for being gay. Mm-hmm. You know, from you would be banned from all of Hollywood, you know, from everything, if they found out you were gay. And we know that Hollywood was loaded with gay people. So, and, you know, queer folk all over the place. But here, this person was let go because they were anti-trans. So here it's a full turnaround.
Yeah.
In the world. So
I don't understand how you can create art that is supposed to be uplifting of something and then be vocally outspoken against it.
I don't know.
Yeah. It's an interesting question. I was listening to a podcast the other day, and the host had a good point that in a lot of these early coming out stories, particularly in the 80s and the 90s, you had to sort of deal with, you had to know that backlash was coming. So you had to make a story that would be ridiculous for whatever million moms or whatever group to come out against. Mm-hmm. So that's why these stories, that's maybe one of the reasons these stories used to be so sort of torturous or so I'm coming out and I'm instantly dying of AIDS.
Yes.
Because you couldn't have something that a group like that could latch onto without them looking silly. And I mean, I think particularly in modern animation, when we're sort of at the point where we're seeing kids who grew up watching anime get their shot, and it is so apparent when you watch stuff today, how much animation flows directly from Revolutionary Girl Utena.
Oh my gosh, yes. If you'd like to know my thoughts about Revolutionary Girl Utena, go back in the feed and listen to the episode where Spence and I talk about that show, because Spence had me watch Revolutionary Girl Utena for my series Nutty Bites Anime,
which is currently streaming on Funimation if people want to check it out.
And it's all on YouTube too. It's all on YouTube.
Yep. I think that whoever had it put it on YouTube as a promotion, and they just never took it down.
Yeah.
They forgot about it, and I'm not going to tell them.
No, it's fine. It's fine. And I think you're right. There's so many queer themes in anime that it's able to come into North American animation that way, and it's become really popular. And I'm not sure, and maybe you know better than I do, Hugh, but I'm not sure why it's such a, it was able to be an anime for so long, because I know even in the 80s, there are queer themes. I mean, for instance, Sailor Moon, as I'm told, they're presented as cousins in the North American version, but they're actually a couple in the Japanese version.
Well, and also anime is sort of seen as this sort of medium for either children or college students. And, the good way to get something for a college student to go out and buy a ridiculously priced VHS of is to have it be a little titillating. So, so you sort of do throw in these sort of more risque themes or these more, enticing topics. The thing is that a lot of the time when they were presented in Japan, they weren't necessarily for a queer audience. It's you do sort of have the male gaze or whatever the equivalent would be for boy love. I guess female gaze isn't quite right, but that's sort of this is a same-sex couple to titillate the other, straight people of the opposite sex.
Right,
and then
right,
those came over here and they found a queer audience that they didn't necessarily have in Japan.
Yeah. I can see that. I can see that completely, actually. And I just love that it's like that sneaky back door into acceptance. And there is definitely, at least in North American communities, where a lot of times parents just don't look at what their kids are watching. Oh, it's animated. It's fine. It's fine.
Have you seen the first episode of Invincible where no, it's just different. Animation's different than it was back then. Yeah.
I have not seen Invincible. Is it something I need to watch?
It's really good. It's another take on the whole superhero genre, but it's a darker, it's an animated show. It's got Steven Yeun and what's his name? The guy that played J. Jonah Jameson, I think, in the Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah. J.K. Simmons.
Is the voice. And it's interesting because I had read the comic, and the comic isn't nearly as gory as the TV show gets.
Yeah. Sorry, I was a little off topic. I haven't seen the whole season yet, but it's still amazing sometimes just how it seems like every new show at least the ones that I'm interested in has at least one gay character in it. I'm not a queer character, and I don't want to say there's a token gay in every show, but you know, representation does matter. And you see the people say, like, why do you have to have, you know, gay people? I'm like, well, you've had people like you in every show, like, since the beginning of TV. So why not have queer people on TV? Because we do exist.
In every walk of life, it's like people who say, oh, I don't really know gay people. And it's like, yes, you do.
Yeah.
You know a lot of gay people.
Yeah.
And, it, you know, I'm glad to see that they're having more than just the gay best friend who is, you know, upset when someone finds a boyfriend. Jack. And, you know, all of those really, So, you know, and it, and you know,
we're referencing Dawson's Creek.
I was
there.
Referencing Will and Grace. I'm sorry, Jack.
Oh, that too. Jack. That's another.
Yes, exactly. And and you know, their lesbian representation is few and far between. But at least we're not getting, like, you know, the total stereotype of, you know, the male and female people in a relationship. You know. It looks more normal, like real lesbians.
And I think what I like is, and I want to touch on, because Will was mentioning superheroes, is it's even coming into the superhero fiction, where superheroes are and comic books are so male gazy. Like, you know, women are always drawn for that het male gaze, and men are drawn for that het male gaze. You know, it's not what women want. It's what men want to see. It's that power fantasy.
Yeah.
But we are seeing, for instance, Black Lightning. One of the main characters, the superhero daughter, is a lesbian and has relationships, and it's a part of her story, but it's not, oh, she's gay. It's, no, this is her life, just like any other relationship on the show is represented. Or in the latest, this is not a spoiler, but in the latest Marvel series with Loki, on his information sheet, when it says gender, it says fluid.
And yeah. And that is something that I just actually finished watching episode 3 that came out today, and that is a thing that the two variants talk about. And that is something they say on panel, which is notable, because it's like the first time that MCU has really done anything. Like, it's really disappointing to me, because we do, because DC in their TV universe has been a lot more inclusive than Marvel has up to this point. Like, we do have Batwoman, and we do have Harley Quinn, and we do have the characters
Supergirl,
like Dreamer on Supergirl. And we just haven't gotten that from Marvel. And it's sort of kind of almost a 180 when we look at the actual comic universes, because both DC and Marvel did put out Pride issues this year, which is a huge first step. And DC's issue is kind of all about its characters who have TV shows, and Marvel's was all about highlighting the actual characters that are in comics that don't, that like haven't made it to a TV screen in a while. Although to be fair, like, three quarters of Marvel's queer characters are X-Men, so maybe that's
coming.
Maybe, we can only hope. I mean, even in Deadpool, like, they hang a tiny lantern, tiniest lantern on Deadpool's identity. But I do love when people are like, wait, is that supposed to imply that Deadpool's bisexual? And it's like, yes, Deadpool will sleep with anything. We know
that's the thing. Deadpool is pansexual, but Deadpool has never had a boyfriend. And I will write that comic. I have a pitch.
Hugh, write that comic.
Do it.
Strife.
Like, Marvel, hit me up. I will totally write a comic about Strife, like, catfishing Wade, pretending to be Cable. This is a thing I can write in a heartbeat.
I believe that you can. Could you also do, just for me, some fan fiction where somehow Deadpool and Laserdick meet each other? That is not a swear or anything. That's the title of one of
these
stories.
I don't want Laserdick to escape my universe. Like, I have to get that book out before I can start writing fanfic in my own universe under an assumed name.
True, true. It's coming, people.
It was just reminding me, kind of along the same lines, I'm glad that with Discovery, Star Trek finally has openly gay characters. One of the most progressive shows out there has never had, you know, any queer characters. The first openly gay couple, the first non-binary character, the first transgender character on the show. So Discovery is, I love Discovery.
I agree 100%, especially because Star Trek is so guilty of coming so close and then not. I mean, that one episode with Riker in Next Gen, right, where it's almost like they're touching on gender and then they have to, no, but Riker's so amazing, he'll turn somebody into a woman for him. And then the Jadzia one where it's, oh, no, she's not really gay. She's just, you know, it's somebody that she used to be married to.
She was a man.
Right.
And it's the slug in her stomach. It's
the slug who's in love, not Jadzia. No, it's Jadzia.
But I'm doubly mad about, like, those Star Trek episodes, because not only are they, like, going up to the line and then, like, falling at the down at the 2-yard line, they're also ripping off Left Hand of Darkness, like, in a really blatant and obvious way, which is a book that actually handles gender from the 70s. So 20 years before this episode was written.
Star Trek was groundbreaking when it came out. I mean, and it talked about racism when they did the whole black and white face thing. You know, it was the first kiss on stage with a white person and a black person, even though they made it speak, they were forced to kiss each other. But that was a big deal. I mean, it was a huge deal, you know, and then I wish that they still had that, you know, that, what do you call it? Groundbreaking kind of push through.
I wish they had the gumption. I wish they had the same intensity. And unfortunately, if you look at the behind the scenes stuff, a lot of like the backpedaling, not really backpedaling, but a lot of the problematic stuff behind the scenes, at least for TNG, came from Gene Roddenberry himself.
Yes.
Who was so progressive in the 60s, but was kind of at the point where he believed his own hype and, you know, believed he was so progressive that he could do no wrong.
Yes.
And if you want to learn more about that, just start Googling why Gates McFadden was gone for a season and how she came back. And there is a trove of information there.
Well, a long list of stories from behind the scenes on TNG on why people didn't necessarily do other stuff after they left TNG. Like the actors who left TNG to pursue acting careers and they didn't happen somehow.
Funny that.
That's funny. Reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, there's stories also about Terry Farrell and her departure and a lot of Will Wheaton. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of really sad holding back stories. So having Disco go there is fantastic. Having some of that also in the Picard series is also great because it just goes to show that it's not just on Disco, but as a universe, we're going forward. We're going to say, yes, we're doing this. I know that there was controversy about making Sulu gay in the Red Matter universe, mostly from George Takei. But I still like that they did that, personally, just having some queer element in those movies.
I think one of the characters in First Contact was gay, one of the red shirts, but I think there was maybe a deleted scene or something, or maybe they just changed their mind and just didn't, you know, even write the scene. But I think in the novels he's definitely gay. He was supposed to be gay in the movies. And I remember reading somewhere, I don't know if it's true or not, that Geordi LaForge was originally supposed to be gay, but they changed their mind.
I read that too. And just imagine how different it would be. I mean, maybe that's why every time they tried to write a romantic story for Geordi with a woman, it didn't quite work.
Yeah.
I buy it. Yeah.
Let's not forget that the actor who played Garak in Deep Space Nine thought he was playing a gay character until the writers found out that he thought he was, and they wrote him a girlfriend.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he will tell anybody who will listen that no, that did you not read those scripts? I mean, clearly he's trying to court Bashir. I mean, this is obvious.
I watched a DS9 drag show online a few weeks ago, and they definitely did a performance where they definitely went there where Garrick and Bashir got together. It was pretty fun.
That's my shit for sure, man. Totally. I will tell you, I mean, subtext is fun. I love going back and watching the original series and just reading all of that sexual tension between Kirk, Spock, and Bones. I mean, it is very clear that yes. is a triangle yeah. that everybody's involved in. There's some full like polyness going on in there as well. But it's really good to have the shows that are saying it and are, you know, that we're not scared anymore. We're not scared to say it. We're not saying, oh, no. They're just really good friends. They just love each other platonically.
That's still a poly relationship. I don't really understand why. Even if nobody does anything with anybody, if you're that close, you know, in that group, that's a polyamory relationship. Yeah. And you have to navigate it that way, right?
Mm-hmm. Anyway. So what are some of the, if you had the shows that you feel people, shows or movies that people need to watch right now, what would you recommend?
I'm going to be a little basic and say Yuri on Ice.
It's on my list. It is on my list. I need you to give me individual episodes to start with. But that you can do that offline. Don't worry. Not right now. I want to make sure I get the right name for the movie because I have called it the wrong thing in the past. And the movie's 10 years old. But I was reminded of it again because of the passing of Olympia Dukakis. And the movie is Cloudburst. And that is one of my favorite movies. And if you haven't seen it, you need to pick it up and give it a watch. It's Olympia Dukakis and Brenda Fricker. And it's about an older lesbian couple. And that's all I'm going to tell you. That's all I'm going to tell you. I highly recommend checking that movie out. I think that's one that not a lot of people know about, and it's a favorite for sure.
I haven't seen it yet, but I'm hearing a lot of buzz around this new movie called Luca. I think it's on Disney Plus, and all of my gay friends seem to be really excited about it. So I'm guessing there are queer characters and there's a queer relationship or something in the movie. I really don't know anything about it, so it's on my list to watch really soon.
I've heard that. I've heard that it's mostly subtext, but that it's a really good friendship relationship.
This is Nettie from the future. I've seen Luca. It is amazing. It is totally worth watching. Everybody needs to watch it. It's not so much a subtext, but rather an experience or a feeling. And it's exactly one of the things that many of us can identify with, especially growing up. So do yourself a favor. Watch it. It is relatable for everyone. And it's funny. And I ended up crying with joy at the end of it.
On
my list, by the way.
Did want to shout out that's not out yet. It's coming out this fall to Netflix is the cartoon Dead India, which okay. is this fall. And it is going to definitely be in that vein of Steven Universe and She-Ra. And it's an adaptation of the comic by Hamish Steele, which is about a trans man who is a caretaker for an amusement park that's a doorway to hell. And this is a kid show.
That sounds
and
fantastic.
It is super delightful. At one point, he becomes like a professional wrestler in like a kayfabe demon wrestling league. It's really cute and delightful and really funny.
All right,
I still recommend Sense8 for right. also many reasons. And yeah, Sense8, I really think it was groundbreaking. But for a movie, I watched this movie last year, the year before, with some friends, and it was The Shape of Water. It was an awesome, awesome movie. But the gay character in there was very much closeted, and it was really interesting to watch that whole dynamic with how he handled it or didn't handle it. It was very interesting.
Yes, that's the Guillermo del Toro movie with Doug Jones playing the fish creature, right?
Yeah, that's the one.
I still need to watch that.
Oh, it's amazing. Yeah.
I've seen The Shape of Water. Yeah, I saw it in the theater a few years ago. I need to watch it again. But yeah, so I love all of his movies pretty much. So yeah, I'm a fan.
Yeah, he's quite good. And I did not realize that there were gay characters in that movie at all. So I'm definitely interested in seeing that. There is a TV show that I am going to mention. And yes, main character that I'm focused on is the best friend, but it's a really good series and it's called Sex Education. And Gillian Anderson is the mom. It's a British show. It's on Netflix. And the best friend character and his relationships are just so it's so amazingly done, but it's not he's not the token. He's not the only gay character. There's a lot of, you know, other relationships going on that I think it just shows how prevalent it is. It's one of those teen shows, you know. I love me a good teen show. Give me Everything Sucks. By the way, that's another fantastic show. I want more shows like that.
Which one is Everything? I think that's the one that they filmed not far from here. It was on Netflix, right? Yeah.
Yes, it was on Netflix. If you're looking for like that teen show kind of a thing, but if you want something a little bit older, maybe Schitt's Creek.
That was going to be my next one.
I watched the first one too.
Yeah, I'm working my way through that right now. I'm at the point where most people say it starts getting really good. So
it gets really good. Yes,
I've seen a lot of episodes of later season just from hanging out with people when they were watching it. So I've seen, it's really sweet.
I think one of my favorite scenes is actually from the first season, and it's the character David and his friend Stevie, and Stevie's trying to figure out David's sexuality, and David and everyone presumes that David is gay because of the way he talks, the way he dresses, you know, the stereotypes. And then he uses wine to explain his attraction to all genders. And I just thought that that was such a good scene and very relatable for some people who might not understand. Yeah. And then it was just kind of amazing to watch, at least from my perspective, to watch this Canadian show get like a global audience and have everybody paying attention and being able to push these boundaries. I remember somebody asking, Eugene's the dad. Daniel, that's his name. Daniel Levy is the creator. Asking him, well, how come your characters aren't dealing with, you know, serious homophobia? Like, that's not realistic. And he goes, I don't see why that's not realistic. And why do I have to write that? I can create a world where they're not being oppressed for the people that they love. And I think we should have more like that. And I was just like, yes. Why do we have to punish our gays?
I just love how everybody in this small town is so accepting of him and nobody gives him any flack for it at all.
Well, I just, if you look at it, it's like, you also, it's a small town in the middle of Ontario, which is not traditionally known as having a lot of diversity. And then you have like the character, I think his name is Ron, and it's the Indian real estate broker, the photographer, the gift basket guy. Like, he has like 16 different businesses in town, and everybody's like, oh, but that's Ron, we love him, you know. And that is kind of indicative of, you know, the way a lot of towns are in Ontario. You know, it's like, there may be some people that are definitely close-minded, but when it's your town, it's like, no, that's one of our people.
Yeah.
And there's no reason that you wouldn't see that. And so we can definitely write those stories.
Yeah, there was a British movie a few years ago called Pride that came out, and that's another movie that I think is really sweet. And, there's a lot of hype around it when it first came out, but yeah, that's something I need to rewatch again, but that's one I would recommend.
That's funny. As I Googled it, it also brought up a news article about Luca, which is your other recommendation. So I am all for that.
I don't know. I haven't seen all of it, so it's kind of one I don't. I'm not sure I should recommend, but there's a show called Trinkets on Netflix.
I love Trinkets.
Okay. And if you look closely in the final two episodes, you'll see yours truly playing a security guard.
Yes, I forgot about that.
Yeah, because I filmed it here in the Portland area. I got to be an extra.
I had to go back and rewatch it to find you. And it was like, wait, where is he? Where is he? Oh, there he is. Will would never pick those clothes out for himself.
I have to go check it out now.
Yeah. No, it's a great little show. It's another one of these teen shows. And it's about a group of girls that meet in a shoplifter recovery support group.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the characters is a lesbian, and it's quite good. I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed it a lot. I totally forgot about that one. See, that's why I need to talk to people about these things, because you forget what's out there.
Yeah, so much.
There's this show. It's called I'm Not Okay With This. And I haven't read the book that it's based on. And I'm hoping that it gets another season. But after watching the first season, I haven't decided if I really like it or not.
It's pretty intense.
Yeah, it's quite intense. And it's speculative fiction for sure, because the teenager, she starts getting like superpowers. And so she is trying to figure all of that out, as well as figure herself out as any teenager would. So, I mean, it's good in its representation. But like I said, I haven't decided if I like it yet. Kind of like I watched Carnival and couldn't, even at the end of it, still, I don't know if I like that show.
Yeah.
I don't know how to explain it. I just don't know.
I can see that. I'm glad, speaking of old franchises that are finally starting to show representation, Doctor Who. Well, I guess if you go back to Captain Jack, that's, I think we're calling him bisexual then, but I think pansexual might be the more proper term.
Yeah, I think they lean more to pansexual after a while.
Yeah.
Then
his companion, Billy, I think she was a lesbian. And yeah, so it's good to see some old sci-fi franchises.
And the Doctor themselves having different genders.
Mm-hmm.
Jodie Whittaker.
Finally.
And it's not just a joke from that one comedy special. I did enjoy that. And this is outside of this representation, but I did enjoy how they featured one of the companions, one of Jodie Whittaker's companions, having a learning difference, a cognitive difference. And that was one of the plot points about that companion. And I just thought that was really kind of important. You know, you never see that, right? You never see that in main characters. So it was kind of great to have that. So kudos. There are some other, like, as you said, the traditional starting to come out and starting to show some representation. And I'm reminded of the remake of the sitcom from the 70s, One Day at a Time.
Yes.
With the daughter. And that is, you know, that storyline is part of the story from the beginning all the way through the series. And it comes back again and again. And again, it's not just the daughter, but her partner as well. You know, she's dating a non-binary person, and how that represents. And, you know, there's other characters, other secondary characters that show up, but I am definitely a sucker for very, very strong family cultures, having that, having representation shown that, yes, even in these families, you can be gay and it is not the end of the world. They're is this idea out there that, oh, well, my family's very traditional, so I could never come out to them. And it's like, that's not necessarily true. That's not necessarily true. And, you know, we can push for all families because really everyone should accept you. Although I do have one question. If you are in the sci-fi universe and there are aliens, is bisexual, pansexual, an appropriate term, or are there other terms that need to be used when saying that you will date outside of your species?
Xenosexual.
Or your planet. Xenosexual, is that the
xenosexual
term?
Xenosexual is perfect.
There we go.
It's hard with the bisexual, pansexual, because there's a conflict there of making bisexual binary. So that would be like on Earth, and the pansexual would be everywhere else. Well, you get a lot of bisexuals really mad if you do that.
Yeah.
So I like what he's xeno.
Xenosexual. I like that a lot.
I like that.
There's another example of like old school media. Now this was started in the comics, but as we all know, like the longest running and one of the most successful comics ever are Archie comics.
Yes.
And Archie comics had a gay character, probably long before a lot of other comics or other things in that mainstream media were representing. And as trashy as the show is, and I am not watching it anymore, I did enjoy the Kevin character in Riverdale. I
did too.
That a lot.
I did. I actually have a comic that they wrote some years back with the gay character in there. But you know, I really love Archie. The Riverdale. It's really great. But you know, I've always, Jughead to me has always been asexual. I mean, he always has been for me. And you know, it was nice to see him there. And now they're, you know, he hooked up. But I don't. I think it could be a romantic thing, which, you know, I don't know.
I've seen some articles about it because canonically, a lot of the writers for Archie Comics have said that Jughead is ace, and that having him in relationships in the TV show, a lot of people are kind of against. And I get that completely. I understand that. If you do want what I enjoyed as good ace representation, the show BoJack Horseman.
I've never watched that.
Oh, it's okay. So if you'd like an existential crisis, watch BoJack Horseman. It looks like a silly cartoon. And then you start watching and you go, oh, my gosh, this is really deep.
Yeah. 5 out of 5 stars gave me depression.
Yes. 5 out of 5 stars. It gave me depression. Yes. That's definitely where that is. And Todd. The character of Todd, his roommate, is ace, and they really do explore that. And I loved seeing that. I thought that was such a great.
I mean, you know, I don't mind the relationship between Jughead and Betty, because it could be just, you know, romantic or demi-romantic, you know, or, you know, it could be gone beyond that, because I'm demisexual and, you know, it would take a lot, but, you know, it would be okay. But it's, so they're not talking about it. It just kind of shook up the ace community because they were like, yo, he's our representation. And then, you know.
And it feels like they've straight washed him. Yeah. Because if they could at least talk about it a little, say the thing, as we've said before, sometimes you just want to say the thing.
Yes, exactly.
Subtext was great for many of us growing up because it's all we had.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we've moved beyond that at this point. We don't
agree.
Subtext.
Exactly.
So I just want to wrap this up a little bit and just ask anybody if you have any final thoughts, any anything that you would like to see. What are we missing from representation? What are some things that you would like to see? I know we've heard that we need to see the movie or the comic that has a Deadpool 100%. In a male-on-male relationship. Hugh will write it for us. Come on, Marvel. Pay Hugh to write this. We all want to read it. What are some other things that we would like to see?
Maybe more where the queer person is the lead, and it's, and they're not necessarily surrounded by all queer. It's not like focused on queer people. Like, why can't a gay person be the head of this law firm on some show, right, be the president of the United States or something like that.
I want to see more queer people having adventures.
Yes.
Yeah. I want to see more queer people that don't look like me.
You know, yeah.
I want to see more of every race, every diversity. I want it to spread. I want it to look like real life. No, not really, but yeah.
I want, and this is me, a little bit of my gripe and my saltiness. I want queer fiction to not focus on the negative, the sad, but also if you're trying to represent a real life feeling, don't focus on the quiet moments. I don't know why. And maybe it's just a strew of shows that I watched, but I watched the movie Amonette, and then I watched the latest season of Master of None. And I swear there are more scenes with no talking and just room noises than anything actually happening. I don't know why that's a thing, but a lot of times when I feel like people are trying to say something important, they show us a lot of just real life scenes with no talking, no music, no story, and it hurts my ADD brain. So show me fun stories. Show me stories where people are engaging, where it is exciting. And enough of this. We're going to show you a whole movie with two girlfriends in it, but never say that they're girlfriends. Looking at you, Captain Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
yeah.
Just give me that fun and adventure and say it. Don't try to make it too serious for serious sake. Does that make sense?
I think we've had enough queer coming of age, coming out movies. I spent like 10, 15 years watching a lot of those. I'm like, I've enough.
Yeah. Well, I
understand. Yeah. Yeah, I understand, like, if you know how they're. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're good movies, and I understand if you're just coming out, how seeing it happen on the screen can help you as well. But I guess personally, me, I'd rather see queer people doing other things.
Right. Yeah, it's time to do other things. Yeah, I agree with that. I like the way a lot of shows are just like handling people being queer. They're just like, okay, this person is doing this and they're this, and it's all part of them, you know. But it's not the big focus, you know. It's like someone can switch from having a boyfriend to a girlfriend, or, you know, kiss their husband and they're both gay, and, you know, it's like no big deal. You know, and you can say, somebody talking about a gay person talking about, oh, I'm going to bring this home for my husband. And nobody's like, oh my God, you're gay. You know, it's like normal.
Mm-hmm. You're gay.
My sexuality is not the most interesting thing about
me. Yeah.
I like that.
I think that there's a place for those coming out stories. And I think that for the young people, these are the things that they need to see in order to get themselves ready. And I get that, but I agree. We need more of just people living their lives. I'm reminded, actually, I almost forgot about this. It's a Christmas movie. It came out this past year. It's called Happiest Season.
That was really good.
It's so cheesy, but I love it so much. And it's Kristen Stewart and...
Oh, I love her.
I forget the other actress's name, but it was put together, produced, and I believe directed, written and directed by Clea DuVall, who I'm sure we all love and was in some of our classic queer fiction that maybe we didn't mention, you know, things like But I'm a Cheerleader, and everything else. You've also got, you know, Mary Steenburgen, Victor Garba, Alison Brie, you know, all of these people that you know.
Bobby Plaza and Dan Levi basically playing himself in the movie.
Pretty much playing himself, or another David type character.
Yeah.
But it was so fun. And that's exactly what we're talking about. We just want to see movies with representation. It doesn't have to be, oh my God, the world is ending because I'm coming out, or I'm dying now, or, you know, any of the other tropes that just make it kind of like, well, I want to watch a gay movie. Where are my tissues?
Exactly.
So before we say goodbye, I would like to give everybody an opportunity to promote whatever it is that you are working on. So let's start with Will. Will, is there anything you want to send people towards?
I guess the only thing I'm doing regularly now is streaming myself playing Overwatch very badly and screaming and at the computer. But you can find me at twitch.tv/longclaw with a K instead of a C.
And people could always dig up your old podcasts, which are Sense 8, Spartacast, which is Babylon 5.
What We Make, which was Terminator. I was on the Defenders podcast with Claire and Tammy for a couple of years. I don't know if Intro to Briscoe is even on the web anymore, but that was another one.
Man, if you can find it, let us know. And Hugh, what would you like to promote?
Okay, you can find me on the two podcasts I do, which are Nostalgia Pilots, which is a Gundam fan cast, and Chrononaut Cinema Reviews, which is time traveling through old movies and TV shows of a bygone age and making fun of them. You can also find all of my writing, including my Everyday Drabbles project, which has cleared over 500 100-word short stories that you can read online for free at my website. That's Hugh J. O'Donnell. That's J. This in the letter. .com.
And at least for the Chrononaut Cinema Review, you don't have to watch the movies to listen to the episodes because they go through the whole thing and you'll feel like
we definitely do not recommend watching some of the things that we've had to watch because hoo boy.
Yeah, it's better that you don't.
We're watching it so you don't have to.
Exactly. And Lynette, is there anything that you would like to promote?
I am rebuilding my website and reloading all my archive podcasts on that. And I am talking with several people about restarting the podcast.
Is the podcast coming back?
It may be. I don't know if I'm going to actively host, but there's some interest going on.
That would be great. That would be awesome.
So I have it. I had to rebuild the website. So the link is actually different, but the name is the same.
Excellent.
But I'll get all that fixed. So.
And when you do, we'll just fix up the promo and everybody will hear about it.
Yep. Yeah. Not committing to time. So.
Well, thank you so much, everyone, for joining me. This has been a blast. I'm just excited to be able to talk about some of these things and to talk about, you know, as we said, the progression, you know, where it was all subtext before and now we actually get to say the thing. So thank you so much. If there is something that you have seen out there, that is really good representation that you want us to watch and you send it in to me, I'm going to watch it. If I can get my hands on it, I'm going to watch it. And then I can report back to you. You can listen to the information in the outro and send me an email, or you can leave a note on Facebook, or you can put it in the Discord and let us know what is some of this fiction, this media that you are consuming that you are absolutely in love with and you think that we need to watch. Thanks so much for joining us. Have a great day. Bye.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
And I just want to thank all of our patrons, without whom I wouldn't be able to put out 2 episodes a month. I wouldn't be able to pay my server fees or anything else. And they are all wonderful people. Funny enough, each of the guests on this episode are patrons. So thank you so much. But I want to say a big thank you to our big daddies, Jax, our top big daddy, Jason, Rich the TT. And I want to thank our patrons of the arts, Andy, Mark Cabot, Mark the Encaffeinated One, Melissa Bartel, the Bathtub Mermaid, the Radical Geek, Susanna, and Lynette. I also want to thank all of our other patrons that are the lifeblood and who have been keeping us going. Thank you to Shane, to Cliff, Grig, Harold, Hugh, Ian, Justine, Ken, Kinsey, Mike, Patrick, Steve, or Steven, Susan, Tibby, Will, and Zach, man. Thank you so much, everyone. And you can become a patron by, if you go to nimlast.org, just click on the Patreon link, or if you go to patreon.com/nukejoss, yeah, I know that's hard to spell, you can go there. And with your subscription, you get early access, you get the ability to buy the yearly t-shirt at cost. And sometimes I send out goodies just randomly. And then if you are a patron of the arts, you get a piece of art that I have created, every single year. And if you are a, as we call it, the street team, which really has become the big daddy, level, you get a t-shirt, a free t-shirt every year and a piece of art as well as everything else. All patrons also, I will play their promos on my podcast. You will notice that most of the promos I play are from patrons. So thank you so much, all of you. You make what I do easier to do.
In the distant future, humanity entertains itself with countless hours of podcasts. But the podosphere is troubled. Corporate networks and true crime shows rule the iTunes rankings with an iron fist. The year is 2019. Our only hope, the Nostalgia Pilots.
Welcome to Nostalgia Pilots, a podcast that for 100 years has fought the evils of outer space. I'm your host, Hugh.
I'm Jared.
And I'm Jason.
And I'm Spence.
Four podcasters fight back by watching and discussing classic giant robot anime.
Hey, do we have any of those cancers left? The, you know, the underwater ones?
Yeah. Thanks, that's what we need in this episode is more.
Drop a couple Saturn rockets to it, it'll be...
Their first mission, Toonami mainstay Mobile Suit Gundam Wing.
Oh my god, you're describing the Spice Girls.
See? You get it!
Suit up at NostalgiaPilots.com.
Nutty Bites is produced by Nimlas Studios under a Creative Commons Attribution No Commercial Non-Derivatives 3.0 International License. That means you can't change it without my permission. You can share it and send it to your friends. Just link back to me, my site, and everything. We live at nimlas.org, which has links to everything social media, including facebook.com/group/nuttybites and patreon.com/nukejoss, or call 347-Nutty42.